Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of Romans, the 14th chapter. Begin with the 16th verse. Your Scofield Reference Bible, turn to page 1208. It's page 1208. We'll read responsively verses 16 through 23 of the 14th chapter of Romans. And let's please stand for the reading of God's Word. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroyeth not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And that last verse, the 23rd verse, is the text verse. And let's pray.
If I ask you the question, what is sin? It probably would start with listing of sins. For example, Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 19 says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And it lists a group of sins: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, simulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Now, if I said name sin, you'd probably start off with such things as that. Murder is sin. Drunkenness is sin. Adultery is sin. Stealing is sin. Cursing is sin. Lying is sin. But the Bible narrows it down from that to bundles, if you please. Let me give you a few of those bundles. For example, the Bible says that transgression is sin, or sin is transgression. What does that mean? It means overstepping the boundaries of God's commandments. God tells you what to do, you don't do it. God tells you what not to do, and you do it. You overstep. Sin is called transgression. What is sin? Another bundle of sin is iniquity. Iniquity is departure from right. What is sin? Another bundle of sin is lawlessness. That's spiritual anarchy. You decide yourself what you want to do. It is you taking into your own will and your own self the decisions of life, of what is right and wrong. It's spiritual anarchy. What is sin? Another bundle of sin would be called coming short of the glory of God. The apostle said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Anything less than what Jesus is, that's sin. And that's another bundle. What is sin? Well, first we list the sins, like I did a while ago. Then we'll take them up and we'll bundle them into a bundle. And another bundle would be trespass. What does it mean to trespass? That's getting out of your rightful place. God has a place he wants you to be. You get out of that place, you trespass. You get off into an area where you're not supposed to be. What is sin? Sin is bundled up again. Sin is not doing good. James said to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Sin is breaking the commandments of God. Thou shalt not kill. Killing is breaking God's commandments. Thou shalt not steal. Stealing is breaking God's commandments. And so we take all of these sins, hundreds and thousands and thousands and thousands of them, and we put them into little bundles. And we call one bundle transgression. We call one bundle iniquity. We call one bundle lawlessness. We call one bundle coming short of the glory of God. We call one bundle trespasses. We call one bundle not doing good. We call one bundle not breaking the commandments of God. And inside these bundles, you'll find in each one, you'll find many, many of the sins that we would normally list as sins that we just listed. What is sin? Sin is cheating. Sin is stealing. Sin is embezzlement. Sin is lying. Sin is exaggeration. And then we take these sins and put them into bundles. How then?
I'm going to take the bundles and put the bundles into one big bundle. And I'm going to tell you what sin is. Sin is independence from God. That's what it is. Sin is God's creatures being independent from God. Now follow me carefully. That's what repentance is. Repentance is stepping from independence to dependence. That's what repentance is. So the measure of your repentance is determined by the measure of your dependence. You see, a lot of people have got this matter of repentance all mixed up. You got to repent of this sin and this sin and this sin and this sin. No, won't you repent of the whole bundle, you see? You can repent of 25,000 sins and still commit 25,000 more. But what God is saying is this. God is saying, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And that which is not of faith is sin. What is sin? Drunkenness? Drunkenness is sin, but it's sin before you drink. When you decide to take into your own hands, not depending upon God, and depend on your own judgment what you drink, then that is sin before you get to the bottle. You sin before you get to the bottle. You sin before you get to the unholy dead. You sin before you get to the murder. Sin is the fact that God's creatures say, I don't need you, God. I can get along without you. I know what you say in your book, but I can get along and break what you say in your book. So basically, sin is anything that is not of faith. That which is not of faith is sin. So what repentance is stepping from independence to dependence. If you do not depend upon God, see, you can repent of a sin like cheating and quit cheating. But you're still not depending on God, so you're still sinning. So repentance is turning from independence to dependence. Let me give you a few illustrations this morning and follow this pattern now. Let's take a preacher. Let's take a man of God who pastors the church. Let's just use me for an example. No, let's don't. Let's choose somebody else. Here's a man of God who pastors the church. Now, there are many things that he has to for which he has to depend upon God. There's no way that anybody can know the multifaceted ministry of a church like this. There's no way you can comprehend the complexity of a ministry like this. It's beyond comprehension. So, here's this preacher, and he says, I've got to depend upon God for the offerings. And so he goes along, as I do dozens of times a week, and beg God to supply our financial needs. God, you got to help us. Oh, God, take care of our finances. Oh, God, bring the money in. And oh, what a wonderful way God has done it through all these many, many years. Nobody knows this but me and Judy Anderson. And I tell Judy, I tell her she's the church financial secretary, head of that department. I tell her, don't you? If you tell on me and get me in jail, I'll tell on you. You'll be in the cell right beside me. But nobody knows the financial burden of a church like this. Every day in this ministry, $40,000 has to come in. That's over $15 million a year has to come in. We have nobody around the country raising money. We never sign a pledge card. Nobody ever. We never have a budget raising campaign. We never have a budget banquet. We never have a ever member canvas. We never have a stewardship emphasis month. We just pass the plates and ask God to supply the needs. And for these many years, how wonderfully well God supplied those needs. But one thing He does is I just want the fire of it. I just beg Him constantly. Oh God, I've got to have help. Now let's take the matter of administration. I'm not an administrator by nature. I don't like to boss people. I don't like it. I don't like to. These guys on platform will tell you, I don't like to boss. I just don't enjoy that part of it. So I've got to ask God to help me. God, I'm not an administrator. I'm a preacher. I love to preach, but I don't love to administrate. Especially when you got the crowd, I got to administrate. But I don't enjoy that. I've got to have a lot of help. I've got to beg God. I've got to rely upon God for that, because by nature I don't enjoy it at all. And so I rely upon God for that. Okay, I rely upon God for God to lead us to know the decisions to make. What direction should we go? What property should we buy? What building should we build? Which building should I tear down next? And other similar things. But what should we do? I'm not a businessman. I'm not. Because of that, I'm sure that I make some mistakes business-wise. That's the only place I make mistakes. Don't make it in any other area. But I'm not a businessman. I don't like business. I don't. I'm not, by nature, I'm just not a businessman. It's not my favorite part of the church. But somebody's got to take care of it, and I take care of it. And God has blessed unbelievably through these many long years here. But I beg God. But now, wait a minute. Here's this preacher says, oh, God, you've got to take care of our finances, and it depends on God. Here's this preacher says, oh, God, now I've got to have your help in this administration part, and this part of being an administrator. I've got to have your help. He depends on God, and God lacks that. God lacks that. And he says, oh, God, you're going to have to help me now when it comes to this matter of leading the church, about our building programs, and about the schools, and about the college. Oh, God, you've got to help me.
And I do that.
But now, let's suppose this preacher is an R.G. Lee. And let's suppose that when he steps behind the pulpit, that's his long suit. He waxes eloquent. The verbs and the adverbs flow, and the figures of speech just paint the picture. And what an orator he is. So he steps behind the pulpit. Well, he doesn't need much help behind the pulpit. He's, why should he depend on God? Now, you fellas wake up over here now. Let's start off there. Wait now.
Okay.
If you want a pillow, I'd be glad to give you a pillow, fellows, up there. When the staff goes to sleep, it worries me a little bit, but I can administrate if I want to. His strong point. He's a preacher. And what happens? He's eloquent. He's an R.G. Lee. He's eloquent. So what happens? That strong point becomes the only point where he stands. Because what is sin? Huh? Without faith, it's sin. Our text says that without faith, it is impossible to please him. And our text says that which whatever is not of faith is sin. What does that mean? That means in whatever area of your life, listen to this, in whatever area of your life, you are adequate in yourself, that's sin. Which means that in your strongest area, you have a better chance to sin. Al, you're a builder. Now, when it comes to singing, you're not much, Al. Not much at all. And when it comes to looks, you have problems. But there are other areas where you're not much. But you put a hammer in your hand, and you can make it ring, boy. He's been building for years. The guy's filthy rich, worth millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars. I just can't wait till he starts tithing. But you see, that's his area. Take your area, Elaine. I mean, you're at home there. That's where you pastor the church from, right there. And you're at home there. And what happens is this. You feel adequate there. Now, I'll be quite frank with you. I feel more home right here than I do any other place I go anywhere in my life. When I walk the pulpit, somebody said, you still get nervous when you preach? I hate to say this, but not one smidgen bit. And I'll guarantee you my blood pressure is lower right now than it was when I walked in. That gets high at deacon's meetings, but not behind the pulpit. And I'm simply saying, I'm at home. I'm totally relaxed, not one whit nervous. This is my place. This is where God put me. This is where I feel more at home. Now, because that's true, I can be more dependent here if I choose to. Now, when it comes to raising the budget, I've got to lean on God. When it comes to administering the church, I've got to lean on God. So I'm saying that my strongest point becomes the easiest place for me to sin. The easiest place for me to sin is not raising a budget and not administrating a staff meeting or not planning a pastor school. The easiest place for me to sin is right here because this is where I feel at home. You ever stop and think about this? I preach 20 sermons a week. Now, that's 20 times 2 hours. I'm behind the pulpit somewhere about 20 hours a week. I'm up speaking somewhere. I'm not talking about making announcements, too. I dare say I'm on a platform talking to somebody probably 25 hours a week. I'm at home here. Now, what is your area where you feel most adequate? That's where you're more likely to sin. And that's why I have to say, oh, God, I've got to have your help while I preach. I've got to do it, and I've got to be dependent on you, because I can be here more independent than anywhere else in my life. Look, by nature, I'm an introvert. By nature, I'm timid and I'm shy. I mean that. When I get on the airplane, it takes me 10 minutes to get enough courage to shake hands with the guy sitting next to me. I'm more nervous standing on an airplane beside a guy than I am in the pulpit right here. Now, where is your place? For example, let's take a teacher. Here's a school teacher. Now, if I ask you, Brother Weber, to preach the sermon this morning, if I'd have said, Weber, I don't feel very good. I just had a seizure, and here, preach this morning. You'd have dropped dead. And everybody would have gone to sleep. Not just one. But I'm saying, because, and you'd have been, and I hear what you've done. Between the office and here, you've done a heap of praying. Oh, God, you got to help me. I got to have help. But you put him in a science room. And he'll pray. He can cut up a frog blindfolded. Now, I don't mean the frog's blindfolded. I mean he's blindfolded. But he can do it. Why? Because that's his strength. Why, he and the guy sitting beside him there, Tom Vogel, I mean Einstein was ignorant compared to those guys. Was Einstein a scientist? Was he a scientist or a musician? I've forgotten which one. I get Einstein and Liberace mixed up. But anyway, But look, you put Tom Vogel up here preaching, he'd be awful. You put me up in the science lab. I wouldn't know where to cut the eyeball out first, or the frog, or amputate his leg. I wouldn't know. See, I'd have to have some help out there. But you see, that place in your life where you're the strongest, that's the place where you sin the most. Because you don't need to depend upon God. See, what God wants, the thing that God wants from you more than God wants anything else is your dependence on Him. Did you know that's basically what most of us want? I get notes all the time. I read the good ones. And I get little letters. And I love this little statement. Somebody says, Dear Brother Hiles, just want to thank you for your sermon this morning. I want to thank you for all the work you do. And they'll close it like this, and I love it. Brother House, take care of yourself. We need you. Isn't it wonderful to be needed? Take care of yourself. We need you. I guess the thing that I had to do most for my mother in the last 30 years of her life was to convince my mother she was needed. I can see her now sitting in a little chair in her house saying, Son, I just don't feel like I'm any good to anybody. I don't feel like anybody needs me. And I'd go put my arm around little old scrawny shoulders and I'd say, Mama, I need you, Mama. I wouldn't have anywhere to go on Friday afternoon to get strength and get help, and I wouldn't have anybody to talk to. I wouldn't have a mama to pray for me. Mama, I need you. And God bless her. She said, Son, are you sure you need me? Hey, tell me if you love me or not. You told me once, but I forgot. But are you sure? Yeah, Mama, I need you. All of us want that. And we're made in the image of God. God wants us to need Him. And the thing that pleases God is when we need God. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Without dependence, it is impossible to please Him. And that which is not of dependence is sin. That which is not of faith is sin. So you better watch that strength of yours. That's where you're going to sin the most. Let's take, for example, a singer. Take me, for example. Let's take a singer. Brother Wilbur, is he here? He's not here. All right. Yeah, there he is, Brother Wilbur. Nobody can sing like Brother Wilbur can sing. He's in a class all by himself, the retarded class. But nobody can sing. I love Ed Wilbur's voice, and I love his life, too, by the way. I love his spirit. And God is using him all across this nation singing. But now, wait a minute. If we said, Brother Wilbur, would you play the offertory this morning? I'll guarantee you, RPM prayers, RPMs would break the all-time record right there and right there. Oh, God, you got to help me. I don't know which one, the black one or the white one I'm supposed to touch that. You got to help me. Or if I asked Brother Wilbur if he would teach Dr. Evans' theology class at the college tomorrow. Brother Wilbur can't even pronounce theology. But you get him to sing. And you stand, he's at home.
He gets up and sings. So I prayed to God in earnest, not much caring what folks said. It's real, it's real. Oh, I know it's real. Praise God, the doubts are settled, and I know it's real. Brother Wilbur, that's the place he has to watch it the most, because he is more adequate there than he is teaching theology. He is more adequate there than he'd be performing open heart surgery. But you put Dr. Streeter with a knife and a guy laying out unconscious there, he begins to lick his lips. And,
he says, now you let Dr. Streeter stand up here and preach, and he'd have problems. You give me a knife, and somebody says out there, well, I don't know who it is. But anyway, you give me a knife, I have problems too. You see, I have to depend on God. Now, God looks down and God says, the thing I want the most. Now, God wants your tithes, but that's not what he wants the most.
God wants your talents, but that's not what God wants the most. God wants your love, but that's not what he wants the most. The thing that God wants the most is for his creatures to depend on him. And so he says, that's the only way you can please me. And I'll say a word about that tonight. The only way you can please me is by depending on me. I love that. Got a letter not long ago. My daughter in Texas, Linda. And she said, dear Dad, you always tell us you're not only our daddy, but our friend. She said, Daddy, you tell us if we need anything to come to you. Now, Daddy, Johnny and I need something. I got down that part of the letter, I began to smile. Hey, she needs me. Of course, he needs me or not, but she need, they need me, and they did. They had a problem they couldn't solve without themselves. They had to have a little financial help. Oh, just a few $100,000. But they had a financial, a little financial need. Temporary is all it was. But there is nobody in this world that they could get it from except their daddy. And she said, Daddy, I feel embarrassed to ask you, but Daddy, you tell us that you're our friend as well as Daddy. And you tell us if we need anything. And I took care of him. What? People say to me, Brother House, folks are just using you. I hope so. I hope so. Just taking advantage of you. I hope so. And if you want to take advantage of me, go right ahead. Yeah, you want to trick me out of something? Go ahead, as long as you use me, brother. It's when folks don't use me is what bothers me. And folks, when I get to a place where folks don't want to use me, that's what bothers me. And God looks down and God says, look, I made you for my pleasure. Well, how can I please you? Without faith, you can't. And whatsoever is not of faith is of sin. Did you hear what I said? If it's not of faith, if you do something in your own strength without dependence on your God, it's sin. Oh, our concept of sin is so piddling. Oh, he drank a bottle of beer, and drinking a bottle of beer is sin. Don't make no bones about it. It is sin. But that is little bitty sin compared to the big sin. The big sin is when God's creature says, I don't need you, Buster. I can make it by myself. I'll do it alone. I don't need you. And that's the worst sin you'll ever commit. And you Pharisees that look down on people that make mistakes and down on people that sin, and you Pharisees that wrap your phylacteries of Pharisaism around your ungodly breast of pride and look down on somebody who's stumbled and fallen. Let me tell you something, my precious brother. The greatest sin committed by mankind is when God's people say, we don't need you, God. We can make it by ourselves. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. If you sing outside of dependence on God, that's sin. If you teach outside dependence on God, that's sin. If you preach outside dependence on God, that is sin. The only real sin that man can commit, and every other sin, is poured into this one bundle, and the source of every sin that man commits is his thinking he can make it on his own. You don't believe when God says, thou shalt not do this. You don't believe that you'll be punished if you do that. And so you go on your own. And God says, that's sin. Illustration. Take a businessman. In every other area of his life, he may feel an insecurity, an inadequacy. But there's one place, you put him with a Wall Street Journal in his hand, he's at home. You put him with the stock market, He's at home. You put him in a business room, conference room, he's at home. That's where he rises and shines. That's his long suit. It's also the place where he's more likely to sin. Because that which is not of faith is sin. And that which is not depending upon dependence upon God is sin. Now you listen to me. You've gotten a few things that you think are sins, and they are sins, but you've taken a few. What you done? You hate the pimple, but you don't hate the bloodstream. You hate the manifestation of the sin, but you don't hate the sin. You hate the rash, but you don't hate the germ. And the germ of all sin is self-dependence. Independence. And God says that if you don't depend on me, that sin, why? Because all these other sins, temper, lust, envy, strife, adultery, fornication, sedition, vengeance, murder, hatred, bitterness, wrath, those are pimples on the skin. We criticize the pimple. But down inside, the person who sins is the real sin, and the real sin is pride, and pride is not depending upon God. You don't need God. Let's take a mother at home. You put her making a speech at WMS, she'll keep her husband awake all night long. I can't sleep all night long. You put her singing a solo in church, and she'll have trouble all night long sleeping. Ah, but you put her in the house with a vacuum cleaner and a broom and a stove and a dust mop. She's, everything's fine. Why? Because that's her throne. That's her throne room. That's where she is her best. And by the way, that's where she can come near sinning too. I'm saying God wants his people to be dependent on him. And let's put sin where it is. Sin is not depending on God. Sin is not depending on God. Now, all these things, these things that we don't like that cause us inconvenience, we get mad at those, and we should. But what we do, the fellow who criticizes the other fellow who's in sin has the same problem the sinner does. Because the criticizing is sin too. I said criticizing is sin. And Jesus reserved his sharpest rebuke to those who criticize what we call deep sinners. Look at this woman. She was found in the very act of adultery. Boy, he didn't scathe her, he scathed them. Now, I'm not defending adultery. It is wrong, it is sin. But I want to tell you something, there are other sins too, ladies and gentlemen. And those sins of wrath and gossip and slander and criticism and envy and vengeance and hatred and covetousness and pride, those sins are just as wicked in the mind and sight of Almighty God as murder is. Why? Because God made us for his pleasure. And the only way we can please God is by faith. There's no other way to please God but by faith. And whatsoever is not of faith is sin. You sing on behind this pulpit without dependence on God, it's sin. I preach behind this pulpit without dependence on God, it's sin. You build a house without dependence on God, it's sin. You teach a class without dependence on God, it's sin. You have a choir special without dependence on God, it's sin. You operate a rescue mission without dependence on God, it's sin. You clean your house without dependence on God, it's sin. God says, I want to be needed. He said, I made you for my pleasure. I get this. I made you for my pleasure. Now, pleasure means please. How can we please God? He says, without faith, it is impossible. And he says, that which is not done in dependence is sin. In what area of your life are you adequate without the Holy Spirit? Mabel, you sang a while ago with Ray. I love to hear you sing duets. Well, I love your solos. The fellow beside you quit screeching while you're singing your solos. I'd love it. But no, I love to hear them sing. But you remember the first time you ever sang in church? You probably don't. It's been so long, but you said, "Oh, most soul of us is where you started off. Oh, I've got to help. Oh, God, you got to help me." So you stood up and you leaned across the pulpit, didn't know how to stand just right, and you said something like this: "I want y'all to pray for me. Don't listen to the music, just listen to the words. I've never done this before." You stood there all the way on one foot. No confidence, didn't know how to breathe while you sang, had a hard time breathing at all. Ah, but you remember, you prayed so hard the night before and said, "Oh God, you've got to help me." And the sweet Spirit of God came as you began to sing, and tears began to roll from your eyes, and others began to cry too. And all of a sudden, there was the sweet Spirit of God. Ah, but you don't need that anymore. You've taken voice lessons. You know exactly how to stand. You know exactly how to breathe while you sing. That means you're a candidate for sin, because that which is not of dependence on God is sin. We have lawyers here. You go to the courtroom without dependence on God, that's sin. We have doctors. You go to surgery or to your office without dependence on God, that is sin. We have businessmen. You go to your office without dependence on God, that is sin. We have a judge here this morning. He goes to his bench and has the decisions to make that holds in his hand the lives and destinies of hundreds of people, and goes in his own strength. That's sin. God says, "I want to be wanted. That's why I made you. You need me. Please me. God, how can I please you? You can please me by depending on me. And anything that's not dependent on me, it's sin." You see, it's only one thing that sin is: independence. And every manifestation, every pimple, every disease that comes from that blood disease of independence, it may be that from that blood disease of independence from God, it may be there comes a temper. It may be from that blood disease of independence of God, there comes adultery. It may be that from that blood disease of independence from God, there comes murder. It may be that from that blood disease of independence from God, there comes a vengeance. It may be that from that blood disease of independence on God, there comes stealing. It may be that from that blood disease of independence from God, there comes cheating. It may be that from that blood disease of independence from God, there comes lying. But those are manifestations. They're the pimples. They're the sores on the outside of the skin. The real sin is, "I don't need you. I don't need you." Sometimes we all, I guess, have that feeling. My mother felt like she wasn't needed, and she lived to 96. I don't know if I can live that long and still feel needed. I already sometimes feel. In my weak times, I sometimes feel, "Dear God, I don't think I can handle this anymore. I mean, this thing's so big. I'm just a country preacher. I'm a hellfire and brimstone preacher. I've got to have your help." And the Lord says, "I like that. I like that. You need me." Sometimes, in my weaker moments, sometimes I'll say, maybe the young people here, maybe the high schoolers would like it if they had a younger preacher. And then I'll get a note on the door from a high schooler, and teenager write a note and say, "You're the best preacher in all the world. We'd rather have you than anybody." And that makes me feel good. Makes God feel good, too. I've made this statement so many times in the last few months around the country. I feel so sorry for God. God wants us to depend on that. Oh, that big old good-looking guy. Talking about me, of course. That big good-looking guy. Boy, God could sure use him. God doesn't need anybody good-looking. God just needs somebody to depend on him. That's why some little scroungy guy comes to Hiles Anderson College, sits back in the corner sucking his thumb for 4 years, gets out of here and builds one of the biggest churches in America. Little old skinny drink of water named Rick Martin. Who ever heard of Rick Martin in Hiles Anderson College? Sat back in the back of the class just looking around wondering what was going on. But what happened? Rick Martin knew he had to depend on God. You go to the Philippine Islands today and you see that miracle work that God has done through the outstanding missionary of our generation. Ah, but some big good-looking guys come to Hiles Anderson College. You think the sun comes up to hear you cackle every morning? What do? They go out and fall flat on their faces. You know, God blesses people that depend on Him. God blesses, God uses people that depend on Him. Why? Because it pleases God when folks need Him. I don't know if anything brings me any more joy than to see that maybe I've helped somebody a little bit. I'm 60 years old. There's nothing I want. I mean that. Not a thing I want. But I would like to be needed. And so would you. Because you're made in the image of God. You ladies. Oh, Junior. Oh, why don't you keep your clothes clean? Your clothes are a mess. You tried Tide and Rinse Old Blue and Oxidol and White Rain, Blue Rain, and Blue In. Did they use Blue In? I haven't used that word in years. Is that Blue In? Yeah. Matter what Blue In is? You poor folks are too young to know anything. You tried it all. And, oh, be letting you kids wrap under my hair. Be letting you kids, oh, I'm sick and tired of washing. So the last kid goes off to college. Comes home for his first vacation. Mama says, did you bring anything with you? He says, yeah, Mama, if you don't mind, I've been down here 4 months, haven't washed anything yet. And Mama, I got your clothes. And Mama goes down to the washing machine. Hadn't been used much lately. She goes to the washing machine. She takes Junior's pants. She puts them in the machine, his shirts, underwear, pajamas, socks. And tears of joy stream down Mother's cheeks. Precious memories, how they linger. How they ever flood my soul. And Mama is happy again. Why? She's needed. She's needed. And that's what pleases her. And if you want to hurt Mama, if you want to drive a nail prematurely in Mama's casket, you just think, let Mama feel like you don't need her anymore. If you want to hurt Daddy and you want to destroy his spirit, you just make Daddy think he's not needed anymore. If you want your Daddy to live a long time, you make your Daddy feel like he's needed for a long time. I was talking to a doctor the other day, and I said, Doc, is Doc another state? I've asked several folks here that question. Mr. Gephardt was on our faculty here at the college. He got cancer. We thought he was going to die any day. Remember that? Said over here in the service, looked like he was going to die four churches out. Like some of you look right now. Looked like he's about gone. And the guy wilted away to nothing. And we prayed. I anointed him with oil. He went to Dr. Streeter and Dr. Cal Streeter and got some health food stuff, you know. Dr. Cal has you go graze out in the pasture and so forth. And he put him on that grazing diet. Dr. Cal says you can live 5 years longer if you'll eat. I tell him I'd rather die 5 years younger and enjoy life. But, you know, that guy lived and he wouldn't die. And, you know, he moved away from here, and for years and years he kept on living. Well, I imagine it's been 12, 13 years since he got cancer. The other day he died. I asked a doctor out of state. I saw a doctor. I said, Doc, tell me something. Why do some people get cancer, die within a few weeks? Somebody else gets the same kind of cancer and lives 15 years. And the doctor looked at me and he said, I don't know medically, but I can tell you what I think. He said, I think it's how much they want to live. It's how much they want to live. And I can tell you who wants to live. The person that's needed. The person that's needed. The other day, Cindy said to me, he said, Dad, could I spend some time with you? I want to ask you some questions about rearing the kids. I think I need some help. I talked to her 30 minutes. She didn't take one note, didn't listen to a word I said. But I felt good about it. I gave her the best advice that nobody ever took. but I felt good about it. And God said, I'll tell you what I want from you. I want you to please me. Well, God, does tithing please you? Oh, that's not what I had in mind. Oh, it's what I had in mind, no. That's not what I had in mind. Well, God, does praying please you? Oh, I like that real fine. Yeah, it's depending on what kind it is. Well, Lord, does coming to church please you? Well, you've nothing wrong with that. Good thing. You ought to go to church. Well, Lord, what really pleases you? He says, if God can cry with a tear in his eye, he says, just need me. Just need me. Need me while you keep house. Need me while you build a house. Need me while you have surgery. Need me while you sweep the floors. Need me while you preach. Need me while you teach a class. Need me while you sing. Just need me. And he says, if you want to know what sin is, it's when you don't need me anymore. Anything you do. Do you ever read the scripture where it says, to the wicked, plowing is sin? To the wicked, a plowing is sin. What's sinful about plowing? If you plow without dependence on God, that's sin. If you cook without dependence on God, that's sin. If you preach without dependence on God, that's sin. Okay, I ask you a question this morning. What is that area of your life where you're self-sufficient? What is your expertise? What is that area of your life where you're most adequate? That's the area where you've got to watch the most. Because it does not please God when you can make it by yourself. Daddy, could I help you drive? Come on over here, Puddin', and get in my lap. I put her in my lap and put my hands around hers, and we drive together. And that pleased Daddy. That pleased him. Then she got her driver's license. And I got in the car over in the other seat, and she got behind the wheel by herself. Scared the fire out of me. There's something missing. It's wonderful to be needed. And that's what God says. God says, in any area of your life, dependency on me is what I want. And independency from me is what sin is all about. Father, bless the message. I really tried this morning to tell them your heart a little bit. I've tried to tell the people how you feel.